Martin Luther once said, grace hears, leads, drives, draws, changes, works all in man, and lets itself be distinctly felt and experienced. Today, through the symbolic sacrament known as Holy Communion, we too can experience this grace of God and this phenomenon of being forgiven. 1 John 1:9, something that we read last week. 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we read Romans 3:23, it makes it clear that all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. But we would be remiss if we did not include Romans 3:24, where Paul says, all are justified freely by God's grace through redemption that came by Christ Jesus. In essence, as Romans 3:25 says, God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Fittingly, and especially today, the final perfect sacrifice of Jesus offered on the cross is the only way and means for a man to experience true forgiveness. Jesus knew that he was the only one capable of being that perfect sacrifice, and his Father knew that the only way to reconcile man with him was through this sacrifice that we recount and talk about today. At least three times, Jesus predicted his impending death, going so far as to say in Mark 14:21, I, the Son of Man, must die as the prophets declared long ago. Folks, Jesus was willing to die for us, but the real question is, are we willing to believe in and live for and love Jesus? Have we ever considered how great of a gift salvation truly is? We can't buy it, although some try. We can't work for it, although many try. We've done nothing to earn it, although many have tried. But when it comes to this gift of salvation and this concept of being forgiven and the concept of the cross and the perfect sacrifice that was put upon it, we really do need to understand it. So let's talk about grace. One famous contemporary Christian writer calls grace the very center and core of the whole Bible as the doctrine of the grace of God. As someone once aptly put it, grace is getting what you don't deserve and not getting what you do deserve. And I like that. You see, the word grace is found in the New Testament, originates from the Greek word charis, and that means favor, blessing, or kindness. Quite simply, it is a gift from God. Mercy to man and benevolence to the believer. Grace reminds the forgiven that they are incapable, without Christ, of inheriting, earning, or even haphazardly stumbling into heaven. Paul says in Ephesians 2:8, he says, regarding grace, for it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Simply put, God is the author and the giver of grace, and he has been since the beginning of man. Now let's look at this, because a lot of times we really don't talk about grace when we talk about the creation of man, but today we will. In Genesis chapter 3, we see the first sin of woman and man. And at that point, based on God's perfect and righteous justice, he could have destroyed man due to his disobedience and sin. We might have done it. We might have said, I made these people after my own image. I created these people because I wanted them to be righteous and holy, and the first chance I give them to follow me, they are submersed in disobedience. I wonder just how God might have felt and what we would have done after we had done what God did. How would we have felt and how would we have responded if we would have created man and seen the immediate disobedience that came from man? And yet God, in his grace, did something that we may never even dream of doing. You see, God in his grace cared about man. God did this. He showed his amazing grace by covering their shame with his forgiveness. And in the Garden of Eden, according to Genesis 3:21, he covered them with a blood sacrifice that covered their sin and covered them. Now, that same cycle of sacrifice continued throughout the Old Testament, where blood sacrifice offered on altars, at the tabernacle, and in the temple were the means to atone for man's continual sin and disobedience. The Levitical Old Testament sacrificial system of blood and animal sacrifice was only the beginning or foreshadowing of God's perfect, full of love, and once and for all offering of his amazing grace. And this amazing grace, folks, we do not want to miss today. You see, for man to have eternal life in heaven, it would require God to sacrifice the perfect and sinless life of his Son, who would have to become the final sacrifice for sin. Let me ask you this. Parents of children, who would be willing to offer that gift? Who would be willing to give a child, watch a child be persecuted and tortured and killed, knowing that many people would say, I don't care? How many people would be willing to do it? And yet God, in his grace, did it. You see, this gift was not only, in many cases, not believed, but for most people, it's never been received. If it was, our churches would be full and our hearts would be full of gratitude for what God did and what God continues to do. I'm going to read Hebrews 9, 24 through 28. It paints a picture of what Jesus was willing to do and how God used Jesus for this purpose. It says, for Christ has entered into heaven itself to appear now before God as our friend. It was not in the earthly place of worship that he did this, for that was merely a copy of the real temple in heaven. Nor has he offered himself again and again, as the high priest down here on earth offers animal blood in the Holy of Holies each year. If that had been necessary, then he would have had to die again and again ever since the world began. But no. He, Jesus, came once for all at the end of the age to put away the power of sin forever by dying for us. And just as it is destined that men die only once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ died only once as an offering for the sins of many people. And he will come again, but not to deal again with our sins. This time he will come, bringing salvation to all those who are eagerly and patiently waiting for him. I'm going to give an example of this. I think sometimes we just need examples of grace. So I'm going to do this. I'm not a cash carrier. I'm a card guy. I pay with card, and I pay off the card, and I use my points for various things, and so I like that. But today I'm going to use this as an example because I think we really need to understand the depth of God's grace. So today I have a dollar bill. This is a $1 bill. I don't carry cash. This is unusual for me to have a $1 bill. By the way, I'm going to confess my wife gave it to me. I don't have cash. So here's what I'm going to do. So again, a dollar's a dollar. But here's the thing. If I was to, and I am, I'm going to do it. It's my dollar. I can give it to whoever I want. If I was to give this dollar to somebody, I would give it today in the likelihood that they have done nothing for me. And as a matter of fact, all of you I love. You are all family, and so I dearly love you. But as of last count, none of you have vacuumed or shampooed my carpet. You haven't cleaned my car. You haven't swept out my garage. You haven't made me a lasagna. Only McKinsey was the one who brought me 72 cacao chocolate. So when I give this dollar, I give it to someone that doesn't deserve it. I just give it to give it. So, John, I'm going to give you a dollar. There you go. There you are. There you are. There you go. Don't leave. Oh, see, there you go. Now, here's the thing about that dollar, John. And John probably is a little shocked that I gave it to him. John, I know. Yep. Isn't it nice to have a dollar? So here's the thing, John. If John looks at this and says, there is no way that Chad would really give me a dollar, he can doubt that. You could look at this, John, and you could say, I guarantee that's a fake dollar. It's real, by the way. He could look at this and say, you can't buy anything with a dollar, so I'm not going to spend it. I'm not going to use it. And in any of those cases, the dollar would be useless. If you don't believe it's real, if you doubt that I am sincere in giving it, and if you see there's no value in it, you'll never do anything with it. Now, the problem is a lot of people are like that with God's grace. You see, we get it. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. And many people say, well, I'm just not going to do anything with it. I don't believe that there is true value in it. Let's step it up a notch. Here's a $5 bill. $5. Now things get a little more interesting, right? You came to church and he's giving money away. How about that? Never happened before. All right, $5. Same thing. I mean, it has a little more value. You can get a meal at Taco Bell with this. You can only get maybe a taco with that. So this is a $5 bill, but the same thing applies. It has more value. But when I give this $5, hey, sweetie, when I give this $5, Jared, I'm giving you $5. There you are. Jared, there's $5. There you are, my friend. So Jared gets $5. Jared's a great dad and a great husband. Jared would, many would say, Jared, you deserve that $5. But again, I love Jared. But Jared hasn't cleaned my house or washed my car or done any of those things. Same thing applies. Jared, if you don't believe that that $5 is real, you'll do nothing with it. If you don't believe that you can buy anything with $5, you'll tuck it away and never see it. But the reality is it is real, and many of you know that $5 has value. Folks, if we get excited, John, you got excited about a dollar, and Jared, you probably didn't get too excited about $5. If we get excited about that, how much more should we be excited about the free gift of eternal life given to us by God's grace through salvation in Jesus Christ? And so many people say, what's the value of it? And I can tell you that in many cases, we won't see the value of it until we are facing it. And when you are facing it, when you realize that your life may be coming to an end or that you need more meaning in your life, you will look at that gift of grace and you will say, God, I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I can't believe you're willing to give it. And yet you did. Question is, are we accepting it? What are we doing with it? In Acts 20:24, Paul identifies the grace of God, and in 2 Timothy 2:1, he personifies the grace that is available through Christ Jesus. Paul says in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. He was directly referencing Jesus here. In John 1:14, Jesus is denoted, we talked about this a few weeks ago, he is denoted as being the Word, capital W. That means it's personified. That means when you read Scripture and you're involved in Scripture, you're involved with Jesus. It becomes personal. But in this passage, Jesus is denoted as being the Word full of grace and truth. And since God is the instigator of grace and Jesus is the perfect sacrifice that fulfills God's grace, then today we get to see that the cross was the final fulfillment, the end altar, and the ultimate place to fully witness and experience and understand God's perfect grace. Here's what's strange, folks. Even with the cross, we see God's grace. That cross is a gift to us. That cross changes the world before us. Now, there's a question we must ask ourselves today, and that's this. Since Jesus overcame the punishment and the penalty of sin and death through God's grace, then what are we willing to do today with his grace? What are we doing with this gift? John, I hope you eat nachos at Taco Bell because I think you can buy them with a dollar. Jared, when you eat lunch at Dairy Queen this week on that $5, I hope that you will enjoy it and I hope that you'll like it. What do we do with the grace? What do you do with it? Do you enjoy it? Do you use it? Hebrews 13:9 says this, it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. How about this? Are we serving others through it? Are we doing something with it? Are we giving to others from it, and is God getting the glory because of it? In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 14, you get to read all about it. But in 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul gives thanks to God for his indescribable gift, and that is grace. Now, here's a little trivia question. Earlier, Baseball America came out with the baseball's top 100 current players we were playing earlier. So here's another little trivia question. It has nothing to do with baseball, but everything to do with the Bible. And here it is. Does anyone know what the final verse in the final chapter in the final book of the Bible says? This is neat. You remember earlier we talked about Genesis 3 where we got to see God's grace that was instituted with man when he showed grace after the disobedience of man's sin? The final verse in the final chapter in the final book of the Bible, Revelation 22:21. Here's what it says. John on the island of Patmos wrote these words inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he says this. This is his closing line. The last thing that we get in the canonized and finished form of Scripture, here it is. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The grace, the gift, the favor, the kindness, the love. You don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But Jesus Christ died for it, and he gives it to every person who wants it. Amen. Folks, what started in the garden from Genesis to Revelation will extend all the way to the end. And so regarding God's grace, we don't deserve it. We've never earned it, but we're capable of receiving it when we choose to believe in Jesus Christ, the final sacrifice and the very one who died on the cross so that man may have eternal life. I love what Paul says in Acts 20:24 as he addresses the elders of the church of Ephesus. He says, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Folks, just to let you know, gospel means good news. And so here's what we get to do. By God's grace, we get to go out And one of the gifts, one of the most wonderful things that we get to do is share God's good news. And so when we stand before someone who is hurting or struggling or dying, when we stand before someone who's crying and not making sense of anything that's going on in their lives, here's what we can say. We can say that you have hope. You have hope because God gives grace. And we can look them in the eye and say, I don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. Nobody merits it. But in the end, because of Jesus Christ, we get it. Today, I hope and pray that we will understand just how good of news this actually is. So the question is, what do we do with God's grace? What do we do with his good news? We believe in it. We receive it. We understand the value and the reality of it. John and Jared understand. They got cash today. And if they understand the value and reality of it, they're going to enjoy it. What else do we do with it? We share it. We serve in it. We live for it. And as Paul tells us, we will always be part of it. We share the gift and grace of salvation from Jesus with others in the same way that it was revealed to us by our Heavenly Father. Today, as we partake of the elements and we recount what Jesus did, let us never, ever forget what Jesus still does. He freely forgives us of our sin when we choose to believe in and love and live for his Son. God's grace overcame an old wooden cross. Today, we give thanks for God's great gift, the gift that truly keeps on giving. Let's read our sermon text today. It comes from Matthew 26, 17 through 30, as we prepare to partake of the elements in Holy Communion. Here's what that passage says. On the first day of the Passover ceremonies, when bread made with yeast was purged from every Jewish home, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where shall we plan to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city, see Mr. So-and-so, tell him our master says, my time has come and I will eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house." So the disciples did as he told them and prepared the supper there. That evening, as he sat eating with the 12, he said, "One of you will betray me." Sorrow chilled their hearts and each one asked, "Am I the one?" He, Jesus, replied, "It is the one I serve first. I must die just as was prophesied, but woe to the man by whom I'm betrayed. Far better for that one if he had never been born." Judas, too, had asked him, "Rabbi, am I the one?" And Jesus had told him, "Yes." As they were eating, Jesus took a small loaf of bread and he blessed it and he broke it apart and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take it and eat it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine, he gave thanks for it, and he gave it to them, and he said, "Each one drink from it, for this is my blood, sealing the new covenant. It is poured out to forgive the sins of multitudes. Mark my words, I will not drink this wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And then we read these words. They went out to the Mount of Olives. But I want to move forward because I think we need to read this passage too. Paul has something to say about Holy Communion, specifically in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 32. Listen to this. He says, "If anyone eats this bread and drinks from this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, he is guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. And that is why a man should examine himself carefully before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. For if he eats the bread and drinks from the cup unworthily, not thinking about the body of Christ and what it means, he is eating and drinking God's judgment upon himself, for he's trifling with the death of Christ." And that's why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. "But if you carefully examine yourselves before eating, you will not need to be judged and punished. Yet when we are judged and punished by the Lord, it is so that we will not be condemned with the rest of the world." So in this passage, in this 1 Corinthians passage, Paul encourages us to examine ourselves carefully before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. In 2 Corinthians 13, 5, Paul says this. He says, "Check up on yourselves. Are you really Christians? Do you pass the test? Do you feel Christ's presence and power more and more within you? Or are you just pretending to be Christians when actually you aren't at all?" You see, Paul's strong words encourage us to allow the Holy Spirit to convict us before Jesus Christ. Today, either in our pews or at this table that sits before you, we are offered the opportunity to come before the Lord, and as 1 John 1:9 tells us, to confess our sins and to allow him to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us all, in a time of silent prayer, make our confession and seek that forgiveness today. And so we will go before the Lord. If you want to join us here and come before the table, you can. If you want to kneel here at the rail, you can do that. If you want to sit in your pews, you can do that. But this is our opportunity to go before the Lord and confess our sins before him, seek forgiveness from him, and receive the grace that comes only by him and through him. If you want to join us now, you can. Let's pray silently. Our Heavenly Father, what you are hearing today is a sound of a church family that is confessing their sins before you and seeking forgiveness from you. We're all sinners and we're all guilty, and you know this, and today I pray that we'll know this. And so I pray that as we bow our heads and we continue to pray before you, I pray that we will be sincere in confessing our sins before you. And I pray that we will understand and know that we've been disobedient in front of you. Father, I pray that you'll take away our sins. And I pray today that we would truly be contrite. I pray that we will truly be convicted. And I pray today that we will long to draw closer to you and to build a relationship with you. One that is steeped in obedience. One that is steeped in love and one that is steeped in servanthood. Father, I pray today that we would allow the Holy Spirit not only to convict us, but to move us to a place of repentance where we will say, I don't want to commit those sins anymore. I'm tired of being this person that I once was. Today, I want to be someone new. And so, Father, I pray today that as we continue to offer these prayers, that there would be sincerity in what we're saying and praying. And I ask it according to your will. Father, thank you for the greatest gift that we could ever receive, the gift of eternal life, the gift of knowing that there is more to life than this life. And I pray, Father, today that we will embrace and receive this gift and that we will truly see the value of it. Father, accept, I pray today, our prayers of forgiveness, and I pray today that you would help us to be forgiven, and I pray today that through your grace that you would truly, truly help us to see how much we need you, because we do. Thank you, Father, for this time, and I pray today that as we move forward with this service and as we partake of the elements, help us to truly recount what Jesus did. And I pray today that you will help us to understand what you did for all of us. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. These words of John come from Jesus in Revelation 3:20. And he says this. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. So let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. You will see it on the screen. We will do this together as a church. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, let us stand and sing a song that we sing every time we have Holy Communion because it's just fitting. It's called Let Us Break Bread Together, hymn number 460. Let's stand and sing. All right, you may be seated. Well, let's talk a little bit about Holy Communion and what we how we do it here. So, Cobell Community Church, we do this at least five times, normally six times per year, and we dedicate an entire service to it because we feel like it's that important. And so with that being said, there's a few things we want you to know about. Number one, if you wish, you can come down here. You know, as long as we've been doing this, a lot of people like to come down to the table and to partake of the elements here. You can kneel, you can stand, doesn't matter. But if you need help, we'll help you down here. If you say, I just want to remain in my pew, you can do that too. If you are not ready to partake of the elements, that is fine. Just observe and watch, and you don't have to partake. You can simply be an observer. What we do ask is to partake of the elements that you are a believer in Jesus Christ and a follower of Jesus Christ. That is important. Also, I want to let you know we don't use wine. We use juice. And you're going to notice when you get the elements, they're stacked. And so just be careful, and then we'll partake together. We'll give you the clue or the cue up here of how to do it, and the servers will let you know as well. And with that being said, we're going to ask our servers and ushers to come forward now. So anyone who is serving first service, come on down. All right. We good? Okay. All right. Let me introduce these servers. So this is Pete Cates, good friend. Is this your first? I have no memory. Okay. So this is my daughter, Jillian, who reminded me that she's done it before. Okay, and then this is John and Shelley Marquis. And so they will be your servers today. Anybody who wishes to come forward now, come on down. Like I said, you can steal or you can kneel or stand before the church today if you wish. Come on down. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your soul and your body and to everlasting life. And may the peace of the Lord be with all of you, and you may return to your seats as you wish. we are collecting cups and putting everything away. Folks, let me talk just a little bit about, first of all, let me thank our ushers and our servers, and Jillian and Pete and John and Shelley, thank you for serving. This is one of the great, I think it's one of the greatest honors to be part of Holy Communion service and to be someone who can serve. I think it's just a great honor. I also think it means a lot to those who've come forward. And we've talked to those individuals. They said there's just something special about serving each other before the church, especially on the day of Holy Communion. Also, folks, let us never forget what Jesus endured. And when we partake of the bread and we partake of the cup, though this service ends today, our remembrance of this goes on every day. And so we are truly cognizant of everything that Jesus did and the Father did for us. And with that being said, let's go before the Lord in our pastoral prayer. I do want to make a couple of quick mentions before we do this, and that is just a couple of quick things. Number one, Spike Gaither is a gentleman that is, most people know Spike. He's in the area. I think he sold cars at Denison Ford for a long time, and I think everybody kind of knew him there. He is dealing with some really difficult things. So we're going to go see him this week, and many have already seen him. And so to those who have visited him, thank you for that. There are a lot of individuals right now who are not well. As many of you know, I know some of you already commented on it. I'm going to be doing a funeral this week for Harold Reynolds. Harold just lives right down the road, and his wife, Marty, was a daughter of some of our patriarchs and matriarchs of this church. There's a lot of family history that goes way back with this church and with Harold and Marty, so we're going to be praying for Marty during her loss of Harold, and we would just pray that you'll be with that family and think about that family, pray for that family during this difficult week ahead. For everybody else who's traveling, and for those who will be traveling, we think about them and that they'll be safe, and certainly for those who are dealing with sickness and illness and those who are at home and trying to fight off things that are very, very dangerous, I pray that we will continue to pray for them as well. So if you wish to join us, you can. Let us go before the Lord in our pastoral prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us about sacrifice. You gave your son. You gave your son for a populace of individuals who may never appreciate it, may never come to understand it, and may never want to know about it. And yet you still did it. Father, I thank you for your divine providence and your sovereignty, and I thank you that you are in fact the Almighty and that you see things that we can't see. Father, today I pray that we will accept this wonderful gift of grace that you give us. Father, I pray today that you will change us inside and out. And I pray today that every single person in this church, everyone that's gathered here, all of us would choose to love and follow Jesus. Father, I pray today that we will be steeped in repentance. And I pray as you continue to convict us of sin, I pray that we won't live in this sin. But I pray that we will long to move past it. And I pray that you will make us new people inside and out. Thank you for every blessing that we have. We are grateful. And thank you for this time together. I thank you that we are able to partake of the elements and to understand what Jesus was willing to do. Father, today as our heads are bowed, I pray that you would be with each and every person that is on our bulletin and every name that comes up. There are some who are greatly struggling, some who are dealing with the loss of a loved one, some who are wondering if they'll have a job tomorrow and where that job will be. Father, I pray today that you will answer those questions, and I pray that you will help them in their time of need and help us to lean on you. For those who are traveling, especially in this dangerous weather today, I pray that you'll be with them and keep them safe. And for those who are searching, for those who are lost, for those who say, my life isn't complete, it's not full, and I need something more, I pray today that we as a church, this body of believers, would reach out to them and love them and serve them and show them you. Father, every day that you give us life on this earth, I pray that we will live like Jesus. And I pray that we will introduce others to Jesus. And I pray that you will help us to grow as we continue to watch this church grow. Thank you for every blessing that you give us and for the conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit, which we welcome today. And we're grateful for it. Thank you for this time of worship. And now I pray that you will help us as we sing our final song of praise and worship, that we will give you all that's due you. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. We don't deserve it, we don't earn it, and yet we get it. And praise God, and I hope today that we get it. So before we close today, I want to do this. First of all, I'm going to say this. It's an honor to be part of this church family and to be able to partake of the elements with all of you. It is. It's so special, and love being able to do it. I love watching our servers that get to serve everybody. It's just a special, special moment when we get to do this. We take it serious. But I also want to do one more thing, and
you know, these guys do, and these guys and one girl do some amazing things, and sometimes they just get left over. They get skipped over, and I don't want that to ever happen. And so many of you don't know, but Dan and John are kind of our DJs here. And by that I mean that at the end, I don't ever know what the last song is. We don't know. We just kind of let the Spirit move them, and they pick and choose, and whatever it is, it's always good. And so Dan, I looked at Jeff and I said, did you know he was going to play this? Dan, it was the perfect choice. So thank you, sir. Great job. That was a perfect song. So Dan and John and Jillian, thank you for what you do on that board, and thank you for putting those things together. Nobody knows how hard they work on Saturdays to get all this put together and to work with us crazy people. So for Dan, John, Jillian, thank you for what you do. You are appreciated beyond measure. We know it's not difficult. You don't get paid to do it, but I think you would say you get paid in blessings when you get to do it. And so thank you guys for everything. We appreciate you. And finally, I do want to say one more thing. I don't think it's snowing. So there you go, folks. This is the gift that God gives. So that's the grace. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for every opportunity that we have to serve. Today, I thank you that we were able to receive your grace. And Father, I pray today that we'll do something with it. I pray today that we'll see the value in it. And I pray today that you would help us as we have partaken of the elements. I pray today that they won't be in just this building, but that we would take the love of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to every building that we go into this week. Let everyone see Jesus in us, we pray. Be with us and keep us safe as we return to our homes. And we thank you for every blessing that we have and the grace that you give us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.